creating age-friendly communities throughout Maine. It is well known that Maine is the oldest state in the nation. The fact is more than just an interesting statistic. It has real-world implications for Maine's cities and towns, from the need for better transportation options to a desire for meaningful and healthy recreational opportunities. A growing number of Maine towns are joining a new movement called Age-Friendly Communities. They are brainstorming and networking ways to make life better for their aging residents. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we are live from the Blue Hill Public Library to discuss this idea of age-friendly communities. What is your town doing to improve things for the older set? What would you like to see happen? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Live from the Blue Hill Public Library, I'm Jennifer Rooks. And this is Maine Calling. The World Health Organization wants the decade of 2020 to 2030 to be the decade of healthy aging. According to WHO, a key part of this will be creating age-friendly communities, places that make it easy for older people to stay connected to people that are important to them. Today, we're going to learn about the age-friendly communities here in Maine and the movement in general. With me at the Blue Hill Public Library, Anne Schroth, she is Healthy Peninsula Program Coordinator, Renee Colson-Hudson, Director of the Healthy Island Project for Deer Isle and Stonington, and Lori Parham is AARP's Maine State Director. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you think about when you hear the term age-friendly community? Has your community already started to change a few things? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And I ought to mention that we are streaming this program over Facebook Live on the Maine Calling Facebook page. So thank you all for being here. A terrific crowd, including, I understand, some students from George Stevens Academy. Thank you for being here, everybody. And thank you to Rich Boulay, the librarian here at Blue Hill, for hosting us here today. Lori Parham, I'm going to start with you. I understand that you took this World Health Organization initiative, which National AARP has signed on to, and you brought it to Maine in a big way.
We did bring it to Maine, and we are thrilled at how this movement is growing. Maine leads the country, and that's always an exciting thing to say, in the number of communities that have committed to looking at their communities and ensuring that they are age-friendly for older Mainers, but also for all generations. And very excited to be here today in a key area for the age-friendly movement and to being able to share and talk about what's happening and what Maine people are doing on behalf of their state.
Lori, I understand 40 communities in Maine have signed up. What does one have to do to sign up? What do you have to commit to?
Sure. Well, first, it's 42 as of today.
42, okay.
Jackman and Raymond have joined, so Great. Welcome to them. In essence, this is a commitment by town officials, but also citizens and local organizations to work together to talk about what a community needs, to do an assessment and really build a plan around what the WHO calls the eight domains. It's actually a relatively simple process to join. There's an application with a commitment from the highest town official, because we really felt, AARP and the WHO working together, that you needed town involvement, town leadership involvement, as well as citizen involvement and local organizational involvement.
Okay, and we'll talk about those eight domains in just a little bit. And I want to bring you into the conversation. When did this movement come to you? When did you get involved, and what have you done in the time since then?
Well, this movement first came to my attention a couple years ago at a conference when I first learned about age-friendly communities. And at the time, Healthy Peninsula was the coordinating agency for an initiative called Thriving in Place Down East, which was a three-year grant-funded project involving lots of different community organizations, hospitals, medical providers, aimed at seniors, people with chronic illness, and caregivers, trying to help them thrive in place as they age in place. And we were looking for a way to sustain a lot of the collaborative energy around that project. And age-friendly communities came at a perfect time because it also encouraged us to reach out to the required participants, town governments, who were voices that weren't necessarily at our table, but we needed to involve in the conversation of making our communities stronger places for people to stay as they age. So starting last January, we approached first the selectmen of the town of Blue Hill, and then one by one, all of the select boards of the other 9 towns of the Blue Hill Peninsula and Deer Island Stonington. And we told them about Thriving in Place. We told them about age-friendly communities and the network, and they all signed on. So we have gotten everyone on board, and we're just launching our community assessment.
So just now, when you say launching the community assessment, trying to figure out what the priorities ought to be and then implementing them.
Exactly. So we have a community survey out in the hall here at the Blue Hill Public Library for the folks in the audience, but also we are using a lot of different distribution methods. And when we get that back, we'll analyze it and see what the community thinks about what could be improved and what's already really good about these communities.
Okay, Renee, your turn. Did Anne recruit you?
So I became the director of Healthy Island Project 1 year ago, and so I came into the Thriving in Place process well underway already. But it was a natural way to continue working together through the age-friendly communities initiative. So in Deer Island, Stonington, you know, we have a bridge we cross to get there. We don't have to have a boat, but it is a little bit further off the peninsula, and so people don't always get included. So having somebody like and myself and also Healthy Island Project as an organization to be able to do some of the coordinating on the island has been important. So Anne and I started working really closely together, and fortunately we've received some grant money actually to be able to help us get this survey out, and we're doing all kinds of different programming and activities to try to get the word out in the communities and elevate the presence of age-friendly needs in the community as a whole.
So obviously people can fill out the survey who are here today. Where else can they get a hold of that survey, Renee?
Well, we have one particular group called Salt Air Seniors down in Deer Isle, Stonington, and we have a lot of different activities that we are promoting. We're doing some game nights on Friday nights. We meet the first and the third Thursday of the month, and then we're going to be having some other special events. But pretty much if there's a special event going on in town, we're trying to be there right now. So we were at the Stonington Spooktacular last week or a couple weeks ago. We'll be at the Holiday Craft Fair. Anytime that there's a kind of a community event, we're going to try to be there to make sure people can get the surveys in their hands. They're also being mailed out, though. We had 1,000 people total in the peninsula that the surveys have been mailed to as well. So,
all right, Lori, let's return to what you're talking about at the beginning. You said that the World Health Organization has 8 domains, 8 areas that WHO is recommending that organizations and towns that get involved look at. What are those 8 domains? Do you know them by heart, or can you talk about them broadly?
So whenever I'm asked this question on the spot, I always seem to forget one. So I actually wrote them down today. But so I do want to say that these domains came from focus groups with people over 50. People overwhelmingly tell us they want to age in place in the communities and homes they love. And so the question was asked, well, what would help you age in place? What's important to you as you're growing older? And so these are the domains that rose to the top. Housing, transportation, which is really important as we look at these domains, especially in a rural state like Maine. Access to outdoor spaces and public parks to be able to get outside. Health and supportive services. Communication and information being connected. So think broadband, for example. Respect and social inclusion. Social participation, opportunities to get out and get involved. And then civic participation and employment. Many people are choosing to work longer. Some have to. This work, we often hear age-friendly and we think it's just about seniors are our most vulnerable, but we really see the value of this work in making sure folks who need help right now have access to it. But this for us is also about the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years in Maine. And that's why that town commitment is so important. How do we make sure that Maine is a place not only where we attract young people, we hear a lot about that, but we think about keeping our older residents and this being a place where someone who's 50, 55 wants to look to as a place to live and retire.
All right. Well, we're talking about age-friendly communities. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And Renee was talking about the surveys. I know that they're not back yet, but you probably have a sense of what this area is going to want and what they're going to want right now, tomorrow.
Right. Well, we do hear a lot, and over the last 3 years, and the first year of Thriving in Place was also a planning year and an asking the community kind of year. And there are a lot of core issues in very rural towns like this, like transportation and isolation. There is everybody often, as Lori said, talks about isolated seniors, but there are also caregivers in this community are often very isolated, trying to take care of a loved one, a spouse, or a parent, and trying to get out. One of the things we've struggled with over the course of the 3 years of TIP is to figure out how to reach caregivers with support when they're spending 24/7 taking care of someone. And so that's another challenge that we'll continue working on. We have a fledgling volunteer visitor program where folks will go and have a social visit with a housebound senior or give respite to a caregiver. And that's a volunteer program run by one of our partner agencies, Friends in Action. And that's been incredibly successful, very small, but we're hoping to grow that. And then community education. No matter how small we are, you still hear people say, oh, I didn't know we had that program here. Oh, I didn't know we could get that here. And so one of our partnerships with the Blue Hill Memorial Hospital is a community resource guide, which is a digital resource that has lots of different resources about lots of different programs and services around the local area and the state that people can access. So we're hoping to beef that up as well. And we'll see what else comes up, but I'm guessing those will be some of the things that do.
And I will mention that on Wednesday, Maine Calling will be about caregiving in Maine, so tied into today's program. Renee, have there been changes already to make this a more age-friendly community?
This past year, we had a change in one of our programs in leadership, and so we had a new facilitator begin the Salt Air Seniors Program, and I said, you know what, I'll do that with you. So with that, we have had just an outpouring of support, and we've had a huge number of people come to this Salt Air Seniors program over the last year in comparison to what we were able to have before. And so through that, it's been a really great way of communicating with many of the seniors in our community, and we're hearing more of the needs that they have expressed. I've also been able to get connected in more with some of the resources that are around the region and then bring those resources down to the island as a result of that. So one of the things is food security issues that people have, and we have been able to bring commodity food boxes down to many, many more people on the island than were receiving them in the past. And so, you know, that's just one thing. It's kind of the more that, you know, you're in contact and communication, you find out what the needs are that people have. And if you're a resourceful person, you go out and try to find ways to meet those needs. So,
Lori, isn't one of the challenges here that just because someone's over 55 doesn't mean they have the same needs and wants as the next person over 55. It's not one block of people who all want the same thing.
It's a huge challenge. In fact, we've got over 230,000 members in Maine, and I always say it's really hard to, you know, there's so many diverse opinions and needs, and how do you start to address all of that? The other thing is every town is really different. As I said, we have 42 communities in the network. They range from Eastport to now Jackman, Raymond, Biddeford, Saco, Bangor, Augusta. These communities are all very different. Ellsworth, Bucksport, right around here. Every individual has their own personality. Every community has its own personality. Our goal is to offer support and information and provide a learning community across these communities so that communities can figure out what it is they want and how to implement. And so we really see our role as a convener and a facilitator. But some of the challenges that Anne mentioned, we are seeing across the board when you look at a rural state like Maine: transportation, access to affordable housing, not just low-income housing, but middle-income housing for folks who are ready to downsize. The kids have left home, but they can't find a house, a smaller home, or rent because there are challenges. So every community will have its personality, but there seem to be a common core of issues. Often around these domains, we hear a lot about, I mentioned broadband earlier, and that connectivity, that we think there'll be very local community opportunities for change, regional opportunities for change, where you might not need 8 driver programs, you can have 2. And then also looking at what we can do at a statewide level that would support Maine's communities.
How much of a challenge is cost? Some of the things you've mentioned, whether it's housing, broadband, it is not inexpensive to lay high-speed internet wire, or glass wire. You know, can't we do all the planning and hoping and thinking we want, but at some point, a lot of these things come down to money?
I think that's true for some projects and some things that require significant infrastructure investment, maybe. But one of the things we learned from Thriving in Place is that given the flexibility and a little bit of funding for the experimentation, organizations serving these areas can together come up with ways with volunteers and collaborating across agencies and organizations can come up with pretty sustainable, affordable ways to address needs. And one of the great things about the AARP Network of Age-Friendly Communities model is how flexible it is to accommodate unique communities and differences. So in our area, it really made sense to do a regional model. So our Age-Friendly Coastal Communities is the 9 towns of the peninsula in Deer Isle Stonington. But if you tell any one of those towns that they are similar to their neighboring town, they'll disagree with you. And it's, you know, every town is also unique. And so one of the great things about this model is that we can gather data that will be useful as a regional approach because there are service providers that serve the area as a region. And so one driver program might be enough for the whole region or 2 driver programs, but also we'll gather data for each individual community government, town government, to make decisions locally about what they see from their community members and what they might want to do on a local level.
All right. And I just like to say this, the model really is meant not to rely overly heavily on local governments. We hear so often that they're taxed. And folks, one of the biggest issues we hear about is property tax and how does that translate into what a community may need. But what we're finding is that the local community energy around low-cost, no-cost projects and businesses' involvement has been huge. Whether one volunteer in Augusta walked into Shaw's and said, "Have you ever considered putting benches out front? That's good for an older person. It's good for a mother with young kids." They did it. And so we're seeing a Hampton Inn in southern Maine is looking at a program that would allow folks who want to be closer to town during the winter months to get a room at a much lower cost. So we're seeing some real innovation around aging in place, and business has to be part of that equation. And frankly, the longer people are at home in their communities, the better it is for business too.
All right. Well, we do have to take a quick break. We are live from the Blue Hill Library talking about age-friendly communities. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Maine Community Foundation. Pleased to support Maine Calling, a forum for addressing issues affecting Maine people and the world. And RE/MAX, committed to being the most recognized brand in real estate, with 25 offices throughout Maine. RE/MAX.com.
It has been more than a month since Hurricane Maria hit the island of Puerto Rico. And the ongoing crisis is not just about the lack of power and clean water. It's also affecting the mental health of many Puerto Ricans.
Are you safe? Yes. Are you okay? That's a different question.
I'm Kelly McEvers, addressing mental health needs in Puerto Rico, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening right here on Maine Public Radio. We've added a very strong signal to our main public classical network. 96.7 FM WBQA, Booth Bay, Brunswick, is now bringing classical music to the Brunswick area, up the coast to Thomaston and inland to Augusta. If you live beyond these areas, in locations such as Lewiston and Rockland, you should try and see if it reaches you. Depending on where you're located in relation to hills and other obstacles, it just might. 96.7 FM, Booth Bay, Brunswick. Give it a try. Maine Public Classical is also found in Portland at 104.1, Millbridge Down East at 93.7, Bangor at 106.1, Waterville at 99.7, and Freiburg Bridgeton at 91.5. Maine Public Classical, how to find and listen to it. You'll find information online at mainepublic.org.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are broadcasting live from the Blue Hill Public Library and discussing age-friendly communities. With me today, Renee Colson-Hudson, who is the director of the Healthy Island Project at Deer Island Stonington. Lori Parham is the AARP Maine State Director. Ann Schroth is a Healthy Peninsula Program Coordinator. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page during the break, talking with Renee about the survey that we talked about earlier. And what we will do later on today is post that on our Maine Calling Facebook page, so anyone in this part of the state who wants to fill out a survey about what they'd like to see can find it there. So we're going to start with the phones and start with Bevan in Kennebunk. Hi, Bevan. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Great.
You're doing a great job. Anyway, I'm from Kennebunk, and we have a Kennebunk is classified as a age-friendly community. And one of the things I wanted to share with you and your group there is a very concrete thing we did in Kennebunk was we established a medical equipment loan closet. Now, this has been done in several other towns, Bodenham, I think, for one. And what that is a place where you can go to get any piece of medical equipment that we have, and you can borrow it for free for as long as you need it and then return it. And the reason we decide to do this is because Kennebunk is 33% seniors age 65 or older, which is twice the national average. So we felt there was a real need for this, and we're doing lots of other things.
Well, Bevan, thanks so much for calling. And, Lori, this is the kind of very small, concrete step you're talking about, isn't it?
It is, and it's great that Bevan called in. Kennebunk is one of our communities, and Bevan has been an amazing volunteer. And that's, for me, as I travel the state and I meet with folks who are doing this work locally, it's the energy and the commitment by people in these towns to really want to make a difference that's so exciting.
All right, Bevan, thanks for calling in. Welcome you to call as well, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome those of you in the room with me today. Also to step up to the microphone if you have a question. We have Kai from Phippsburg. Hi, Kai. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm very much interested in your program. Listen, at the end, it's all about money, and there are two things that Maine has a lot of, and that is old abandoned gravel pits and mobile home parks. Now, the mobile home parks would be nice if they could be redesigned or when new ones are coming up as a green mobile home park. The other thing is the gravel pits. It may sound like, you know, this is stupid, but the Highlands in Topsom or the Highland Green was a former gravel pit. The New Alchemy Institute in Falmouth was a former gravel pit. Fox Farm Road in Kennebunkport was a former gravel pit. Arundel Route 1 was a former gravel pit. It allows us to basically make new houses with new plan and purchase the land, and the hookup would be all very reasonably priced. And because the designers would start with a clean slate.
Okay, Kai, thanks for your call. Creative housing options.
Absolutely. We're seeing in a lot of old downtowns, we're seeing that with the mill space where there's a transformation into housing, and sometimes it's multi-generational. There's been discussion of old inns and hotels in town centers where you might be able to turn those into studio apartments for folks who would much rather be closer to town. And so this is the kind of innovation we need to be talking about as we look at housing needs.
All right, Kai, thanks for your call. Question here in the room. Go ahead, tell us your name and ask your question.
My name is Larry. I guess you know me. I don't have permission to advertise this, but I've spoken with Chancellor Page at the university. He's in charge of all of the higher education things. If you're over 65, you can go to the university or any of the other colleges for free. I've been taking advantage of that for the last, 15 years, and I would suggest each and every one of you do it if you can. You don't have to go for a degree, but those of you who always wanted to get your master's or finish your college or whatever it was, it's a great opportunity, and the students actually like you being there. You ask mm-hmm. questions, and they get to ask you questions, and the professors particularly like it because old duffers like me have no qualms about asking questions, whereas students do.
Thanks, Larry. We'll go to Beatty from Camden. Hi, Beatty. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yes. There's a really nice facility across the road here, which is over 100 years old, more than that, for senior citizens to live. And it has it has bedrooms and a common dining room. And it's really struggling because the regulations, I don't know how badly it's struggling, but the regulations are designed for much bigger institutions. And I wondered if AARP or some other organization might be able to help work on regulations that were for small care, long-term care. I mean, this is a really cozy place that's right in town, and people have been using it for well over 100 years.
Thanks, Beatty. Are regulations an issue, Lori?
They can be an issue. And this is when I was talking about the need to look at local, regional, and state. There sometimes are things you can do at a state level that can make a change. We've worked in some towns. It used to be that in certain places, having an accessory apartment for your mother-in-law apartment was very difficult. So we've worked on local regs around that issue. We often provide to our committees in each of these communities model legislation or model regulations that they can then take to the local council and or to the planning board to talk through what might be possible to open up ideas. So it's definitely something that we could look at.
Beatty, thanks so much for your call. Another question here in the room. Tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Voodoo, and I'm representing the GSA student. And so we find that the elderly communities have been supporting us a lot. So we just wondering if what are the ways that we can do to support people who support us.
And thank you for asking your question. For those of you who are not from this area, GSA is George Stevens Academy. Thank you for asking your question. What would be your answer? How can students support the seniors in this community?
I can't tell you the number of times people have said, don't the GSA students have a community service requirement, and couldn't we get them to help us with this opportunity? So I think if we could just channel that question into a real organized effort, we would come up with plenty of jobs, including shoveling snow, helping people move firewood, making sure people's sidewalks are clear and that they don't fall in the winter, helping people put in light bulbs or do a few around the house chores that are needed, that are some really basic things that can be organized that can make somebody safer at home. So there are a lot of things, I think, that the students could do to help, and I'm so glad you asked the question. I'll be in touch.
Well, I know a lot of high schools in Maine have a community service requirement. A lot often just have a volunteer club. And so if somebody in a community gets a hold of that high school, they can maybe hook them up with the volunteer club. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the social interaction between the generations is really, really crucial. And, we know that social isolation is a problem. And that, the more that our seniors are able to socialize with other people their own age, but of other ages as well, is better for their mental health and their well-being overall. So, get some of the high school students to to come and play games with seniors or, you know, come to some of our events and those kinds of things and just interact with each other is a really great thing to do. Bring your instruments in and play music for us or something. That would be great.
Again, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. The email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. You can also watch this program on Facebook. The Blue Hill Heritage Trust has made a post on Facebook. Somebody writes, at the local land trust, we are discussing more and more the need for walking trails that are better suited for people with mobility limitations. This will be a focus of ours and some upcoming projects we have in both Blue Hill and Sedgwick. If you have questions, you can ask George Fields, our associate director, who is in your audience. George, did you know that you were going to get that post? Chrissy stole his thunder.
George is also the president of our board of directors for Healthy Island Project, I should say.
Anyway, well, that's a terrific project, it sounds like. And I know the trails that I like to walk in are filled with roots and rocks and would not be friendly for somebody who has not just mobility issues, but maybe a few balance issues. That would be a lot scarier. Steve on Facebook says, there is local concern on the island now for access to medical care at the only small facility, and fear that the island's nursing home does not go the way of the nursing home in Penobscot. This sounds like an issue for you, Renee.
I can't speak for the nursing home itself, but it's a great resource we have in the community. And, I'm not on their staff to know the ins and outs of it, but it's really important to have a nursing home right in our community that we're able to, folks are able to continue to thrive in their own on their own island with their friends and their neighbors and their family around them. So far it seems like it's doing quite well there, but I'm hoping that they'll be able to maintain.
Lori, earlier the call from Kennebunk had an interesting statistic that 30% of the community is 65 or older. And I know in Maine, the average is something like 20% per community 65 or older. Is there ever an issue of just numbers and the, you know, so many people bemoan young people moving away from communities? You talk about maybe setting up a transportation program or two. Are there ever issues with just not having the people to staff or volunteer the kind of programs that we want to create?
The population is a concern. There's a range of issues. When I talk with other nonprofits,
there are a lot of nonprofits that are looking for volunteers. And so what we're really looking at is, how do we make sure we're not duplicating efforts? How do we make sure that we're connected and coordinated and, really kind of working together on that? The other piece of this that I mentioned earlier is about Maine's future and how we look at our cities and towns. And there's a lot of discussion around change, and change can be difficult. What's exciting, if you look at what people want, especially if you look at baby boomers and their children who are the millennials, a lot of those things are the same, and they fall into the eight domains. And so what we're hoping is that as we work with communities and towns and offer support, that there will be an opportunity to continue to provide services to those who are isolated, who can't get out on an island. But we'll also be looking at, again, 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And maybe we see a population increase. We really see, instead of thinking of Maine as just this gray old state and it's all bad news, what I'm seeing in our communities, and I look in this room today, of all the people who showed up, is the good news. And so that's where we're really focusing.
All right. We're doing Maine Calling live today from the Blue Hill Library. Our phone number, 1-800-399-356. Also hoping to get some more questions from the audience in the room. We're going to take another short break. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Lunder Foundation, founding partner of Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical, and Freemasons in Maine, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
The U.S. is a bystander at the Global Climate Change Conference in Bonn, Germany. But one country out front is the tiny nation of Fiji, which has 300 islands, all of them vulnerable to extreme weather.
Come on, you guys really need to hear our plea. At least have time to come down and see for yourself what we are going through.
People from Fiji speak out about climate change on the world.
Join us for The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, you can join us for World Affairs Council, a panel discussion on the U.S. involvement and strategy in the Middle East. That's World Affairs at 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on the listener-supported stations of Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling, broadcasting live from the Blue Hill Public Library. Today on the program, Age-Friendly Communities. Joining me here, Lori Parham, the AARP State Director, Maine State Director, Renee Colson-Hudson, Director of the Healthy Island Project for Deer Isle and Stonington, and Shroth is Healthy Peninsula Program Coordinator. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We also welcome you all in the room to step to the microphone and ask a question. Lori, we've been talking a lot because we're here in Blue Hill about things going on in this part of the state. What are some exciting projects in other parts of the state?
Wow, our communities are doing wonderful things. The first part of the state that really took a regional approach was the Bethel area. And my good friends, the Cressys, are listening in, and Nancy Davis, who they've just been spearheading efforts in that area, hello to you. They started to bring the towns together again. Yes, every community has their own wants and needs, but what can you do regionally? For example, transportation. And they did start a volunteer transportation program. They have an indoor walking program for the winter months. This is also a concern in communities that see a lot of tourists during the summer, but what about the folks who live here year-round, and what can we be doing in local communities so that they're thriving year-round? Maybe not as much when all the tourists and the boats are in town, but more than that, or beyond Sugarloaf or the skiing. Augusta, I mentioned the benches. They were the first community to look at implementing an age-friendly business program where businesses can say, I'm invested in these issues. They're important. I'm an age-friendly business. Bodenham, who has really led efforts and found the WHO before the AARP found Bodenham, has been really working. They just received a challenge grant and are building raised beds. They're really looking at food insecurity. They started a handy brigade with the Masons, where you have volunteers who will go out and do projects in people's homes. So these are the kinds of folks in communities across the state who are getting involved, who care deeply about their communities. And as I said, it's good news. And the difficult part is I can't talk about all 42 today, but they're just wonderful communities across the state getting involved.
And Lori just mentioned the Masons helping in Bodenham, and this is what you are wanting to emphasize, the collaboration between different organizations.
That's right. And one of the things in Deer Isle Stonington in particular that's made this so effective is we have a community breakfast every other month, and we gather people from nonprofits and organizations to come together and to just talk about what's happening around that table. Amazing things happen. You know, people hear about needs that exist in the community, things, other ideas that they have, and they start working together. One of the things was transportation needs on the island a few years ago that came up, and out of a meeting of many different people, Friends in Action became really involved in Deer Isle and Stonington now, and are providing rides through volunteers for seniors and others who are disabled, to whether it's medical rides or whatever they need. And that's just one example of the kinds of needs that are being met. But it takes collaboration. It takes people coming together, communicating. It's really amazing when you see what a few passionate people who are really committed to solving problems can do together.
We have a question here in the room. Go ahead. What's your name?
Betsy from Surrey. The Maine People's Alliance is working toward a 2018 ballot initiative to support universal in-home care for seniors so that individuals can age in place with a certain amount of support for those who don't have to use a facility. Have you all heard of this at all? And if not, let's be a welcoming to this initiative. They were gathering petition signatures at the last voting election, and we hope to hear more about it.
They've reached out to us, and we are just now looking at what it would do, how it would be paid for, and all of those issues. But I was aware that this was something that they were putting forward.
Yeah. We have an email here from Jan in Brunswick. To my mind, the friendliest thing a community can do for elders is to pay close attention to ice and snow removal so that we can safely be out and about in the wintertime. Like many elders here, I fear slipping on the ice and falling and breaking a hip, which is the first step on the road to a nursing home. I would feel much more inclined to stay in Maine for the winter if I could go about my usual outdoor activities on bare, unslippery sidewalks, etc. So, something you all, you're nodding, something you hear.
It's one of the questions in our survey is whether people fear falling or not.
We'll go to Gudrun, calling from Old Town. Go ahead, you're on the main calling.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to mention that Hirundo Wildlife Refuge in Old Town, Maine, has a universal access trail, making it available for people who have difficulties walking or in a wheelchair or have problems with their eyesight. It's a brand new trail we put in, and we would like to invite everyone to come and try it out.
Great. Thanks for the tip. And I'd welcome you, Gudrun, to put something on our Maine Calling Facebook page if there's a link to that. We'll go to Belfast and Stephanie. There we go. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi. I was thinking about the gentleman from GSA who was looking for projects for their community commitment. And I think there's a lot of us 50 and over who don't have a little adolescent person in the room that can help us with digital issues, computer stuff. And I think there's a great need. I know I don't have children. I thought, I need somebody about 8 years old to come help me fix this television and my computer. And
there we go. A good suggestion for any students listening, any teachers. And I agree. Young people are fantastic at figuring out technology. Let's see here. We'll go to Lawton calling from Penobscot. Hi, Lawton. Go ahead.
Hey, I really appreciate your program. Just a comment about the nursing home situation. You know, the island nursing home is probably a whole show in itself. I think because it was really a community nonprofit project that said, hey, we've got it, you know, we need this for our community, and there was a lot of funding, and I'm sure there still is. With the Penobscot Nursing Home, it was a long-time family-run operation that was bought out by a big corporation that was in financial trouble to begin with. So I think the nursing home in Deer Isle is in good shape, too. but my question is, what about funding now for your guests today, how are they funded? Because I know there was a lot of cutbacks from the tobacco settlement that funded the healthy community project.
Good question. Thanks, Lawton. How are you doing this?
So Healthy Peninsula was originally a healthy partnership funded by the tobacco money. Since 2011 or 12, we no longer are a Healthy Maine partnership. So we have been funded by foundation grants and individual funders since then. And like I said, our Thriving in Place project was a three-year, $100,000 a year grant that was distributed out to partners from the Maine Health Access Foundation. We have other funding, including some from AARP Maine. Thank you, Lori. So to keep us going, and we are, like a lot of other nonprofits, we are looking for funding from creative places and sources. And I think what Renee said about collaboration is key, because resources are scarce, but there is a lot of deep talent in our communities and among the organizations that serve our area. And one of the problems is duplication of resources when organizations and providers don't talk to each other. So everybody tries to start a new program when really everyone could just get together and focus on the one really good program. So for one of the things we did during Thriving in Place, for example, is to bring a lot of health and wellness classes down to our tiny little rural communities that people aren't necessarily going to drive from Stonington to Ellsworth to take an exercise class. But we brought a Tai Chi for Health class down to Stonington, and 46 people signed up for the first class. So just sharing information from the community organizations to the regional providers and getting all that information in the same room is an incredible way to save resources and bring the services down to folks.
And I'd also, we have been able to provide very small grants to communities, but what I love about Maine is it doesn't take much. It's amazing what people will do with very small amounts. And this was largely in part to the John T. Gorman Foundation, who really saw a need to build this kind of infrastructure. And we're lucky that there are foundations in Maine who are looking at these issues. The Maine Community Foundation is now taking on aging as a core area. And so that's helpful as well. And so we really are, again, looking at how to bring resources together so that we're not just dependent on the towns.
Another question from the room. What's your name?
Yes, my name's Holbrook Williams. By the way, I have a jazz show on WERU on Thursday evenings. You all listen?
Nicely done.
I'm interested in innovation. Can you give me a short list of innovative things that are now being done for seniors? Something about going and playing bingo or eating cooked food or other things that are like standard for I think standard for seniors. Bore me, and I'm a legitimate senior. Are there innovative things out there? If you don't, if you don't have any, I got a few ideas for you.
Lori?
Innovation. Well, what we are, you're right, what we're hearing is that folks, when they think about a traditional senior center, that's not where we're hearing folks want to go. There's nothing wrong with senior centers. They serve a lot of people. But we're hearing from folks that they're looking for a much broader range of opportunities. So one of the things that we've been doing is just creating space for people to get together. We've started doing happy hours in the evenings. We do coffees during the day. So we use space and time to get together, working with local businesses. This is where we hold them, or we bring in programs from local businesses. We just did one on down in Portland with Rosemont Bakery on get all your questions about how to make the perfect pie, for example. And so we have a range of people of different ages, bringing different kinds of entertainment. Just really, we've been focusing on getting people together. We're also seeing a real move to be outdoors, not surprisingly, in a state like Maine. So partnering with different types of organizations like the Eastern Trail Association or Portland Trails or on up the coast. And we had a big event at Bradbury Mountain, for example, to get people out. So those are some of the ways that we're trying to get people together other than here's a place where you can get a hot meal. Here's where you can go play bingo.
You want to throw an idea?
We would love your ideas.
Yes, I have three. I'm fatherless, as far as I know. I mean, excuse me, I have never been a father, as far as I know. But a couple of weeks ago, the son of a son of a woman that I work for had a three-month-old baby that I wanted to look at, and I got the chance to look at it, and he handed it to me. I got to hold the baby for the first time since I was in my 20s. So my idea is share your baby with old folks day. Get all these beautiful young mothers with their beautiful babies to come and hang around with. The other is share your puppy.
Yes.
Bring your puppy to a gathering of old folks. And what was the third one? What's that?
Something to do with music?
This was the craziest one. Get a really well-dressed, fashionable, successful man to come with an attaché case full of $100 bills and let people kind of ruffle through them. You can't take them. You can just admire them. Share your money. Share your puppy.
Share your baby.
Share your baby.
Got it. We have a more serious question. Well, not that you're not serious, Holbrook, but I don't think people will laugh at this question. Is there through AARP or some other organization for an employment agency for companies to post job positions? It might be that a company's looking for somebody with experience but only part-time, and a senior may have discovered that retirement wasn't as much fun as they thought it would be, or someone could use some extra money.
Boy, we are getting more and more of these kinds of questions. We approach this in multiple ways. We have online resources for individuals who are looking to go back to work or make a change, for example, part-time work, or I just had someone reach out and say, what if I want to work from home? What are the kinds of opportunities that are available that are legitimate? We also are working more and more with employers, and Maine is very fortunate to have employers like L.L. Bean and Chimbro who actually really recognize the value of hiring and retaining people over 50 to look at opportunities that provide flex so that if individuals want to work part-time, they can. We know there's a nurse shortage in this country, in this state. Well, what if a nurse could go to part-time? They might want to keep working, and we need these individuals to help train younger people as well. And so it is something that we're working on. We do a lot of work around entrepreneurship. The largest growing group of entrepreneurs are people between the ages of 55 and 64, huge in Maine, where we're really built on a small business economy. And so, and then if you go out to aarp.org/work, that you can find resources and online postings from companies who value the 50 plus worker.
We'll go to Claudia calling from Newcastle. Hi, Claudia. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you can hear me. I've got an iPhone. I'm calling because I just recently moved up to Maine after being landlocked in Western Massachusetts for more than I meant to be. And I'm really finally happy to be here. And I cannot wait to get involved in my major passion, which is marine biology. I'm 61. I'm not quite a senior. And I am really concerned about something that I've experienced both here and in Massachusetts, which it just seems that the juicy young crop of millennials really seems to be favored and prioritized for citizen science research projects, for research projects in general. And yes, I have had 40 years of research experience, although my career never took off and flew, so I'm not exactly somebody in the job market. You know, so I'm sort of looking for my niche here and trying to figure out, you know, how much openness and what kind of opportunities are there for people approaching retirement age who
okay.
are not done.
Claudia, learning. Lori, do you have any knowledge of research opportunities or ways that Claudia can go about this?
What I would ask Claudia to do is to send an email to me@aarp.org. And Claudia, I'd be happy to share some resources that may be helpful to you as you navigate. There are a lot of wonderful organizations that are looking to help connect people to jobs, depending on what kind of job they're looking for. I don't know of anything specific in this space. It's very specific, but would be happy to send you to some places to start to investigate.
All right. And Claudia, you're going to be the last question of this hour. We are out of time. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here today. And thank you to my guests, Ann Schroth, the Healthy Peninsula Program Coordinator, Renee Coulson-Hudson, Director of the Healthy Island Project at Deer Island Stonington, and Lori Parham, AARP's Maine State Director. Nikki Shields ran the board today, and Owen Manahan answered your calls. A special thanks to John Bradford and Dan Works, the magicians who made this all happen, as well as to our hosts here at the Blue Hill Library. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our archives at mainecalling.net. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on program, Bob Childs and the music of Child's Play. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.